Today, I'm going to be preaching and teaching to you the most important sermon you've ever heard in your life. And the Bible says this. It says that we must all give account for what we hear. And so there will come a day, listen to me, every person in the house today, there will come a day where you'll have to give an account for the words you hear today. You won't be able to say when you stand before the Father, I didn't know. I didn't know I would be judged. I didn't know that you'd return again. I didn't know there would be a rapture. I didn't know that I would have to give an account for my life. The Bible's very clear that we must give an account for what we hear. And today, what you're going to hear is a life-changing message. For many, it will set you free. For many people today, it's going to build anticipation. For some, it may bring conviction that, man, I need to get right with God. I need to make sure my house is in order. I need to make sure my priorities are in order because the return of the Lord is drawing near. The word rapture is a term. Now, if you try to look up the word rapture in the Bible, you're not going to find it. The word rapture is actually a word we use to describe a biblical event that the Bible talks about. The word rapture is a term that describes, you look it up in the dictionary, it says an event which the Bible describes as Christ calling his people home. That's what the dictionary says. And it is. If you go in and I walk in and I grab you, I would capture you. If I walk into a room and I grab you and I take you, it's called rapture. That's what it means. It means to grab and to take away. And so today we're talking about a thing that we call the rapture. It's a term we use to describe a biblical term when Jesus will call his church home. Let's look at this. It's based off of 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven and with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. And so the Bible talks about this thing of the rapture where he is calling his children home. It says those who are dead in Christ. What that means is simply this. When we die, our spirit man goes to heaven, but there's going to come a time of the rapture when our bodies who have been buried, our ashes, whatever, they're going to come and they're going to automatically be renewed into a new creation. We're going to receive our heavenly bodies. They're going to be reunited with our spirits in heaven. And those who remain, that means those who have not died yet, who are Christians, they will also be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord. It's the promise of hope we have. The Bible is very clear. You can go back and you can read about heaven in the Bible. The Bible is very clear. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. If it was not so, I wouldn't have told you that. In my Father's house are many mansions. And it goes on and describes, you can see through the Bible where the Bible describes heaven as a place where we want to be with the Lord forever. Now, many people confuse, the problem is this, many people confuse the rapture with the second coming of Christ because there are actually two different things. And I know some of you are thinking you didn't know that today, and some of you did know that, but sometimes we use scriptures about Christ's return, and one is referring to the second coming of Christ, and one is referring to the rapture of the church, which are two different scenarios, two different timings, and two different occurrences. So let me explain them to you the best I can to help you understand the difference between the two. And as I do this, it'll help you have a better understanding what the rapture is and also an understanding what the second coming of Christ is. So today, let's look at this. Number one, at the rapture, Jesus will return for his saints. At the second coming, he will return with his saints. A big difference. The first time Jesus comes, he will come and call us home. The second time he comes, he will bring us with him. It's a different return. See, he's going to come twice. The first time he comes, he's going to come and bring us home. He's calling his bride to himself. He's going to come and he's going to rapture us, rescue us from the things that are to come on this earth. He's going to rescue us, take us to himself, and there's going to come a time, we'll get to it in a few minutes, of the second coming where he returns again to the earth, and this time you and I are going to be with him. It's going to be an awesome experience. As we get into it, I'll explain more about that. Look at Revelations 19:11-16 says, He says, then I saw the heaven open, and a white horse was standing there. And its rider was named Faithful and True. These are the words we see in the scripture to describe Jesus. The rider's name was Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except for himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood. How many are thankful for that blood of the Lamb of God? He wore a robe that had been dipped in blood. It signifies that he was the Lamb of God slain upon the earth for our salvation. He wore this robe, and his title was the Word of God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God, and the Word of God will return again, riding on a white horse, his robe dipped in blood. And I'm telling you, you want to be ready for that day. It says, the armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, also followed him on white horses. This is going to be us. This is pretty awesome. And from his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod, and he will release a fierce wrath of God the Almighty. Let me be very clear to you. Right now, God's love and grace is beyond comprehension. His love and grace is beyond, it is so big that we can't understand it. It makes no sense to us that he would die for us while we were sinners. It makes no sense to us that he would give out this grace so freely to those who would surrender to it, that all of my sins would be forgiven. But just as big as his grace is, look at me, hear me, just as big as his grace is, his judgment is just as big. And he's a God of just and mercy. You'll find that throughout scripture. He's a God of just and mercy. Let's pick it back. On his robe, his thigh was written the title, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And the Bible goes on to say that at his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So today I want you to see this. At the rapture, Jesus will not descend to earth, but at the second coming, he'll descend all the way back to the earth, and the Bible says it'll be at the Mount of Olives. Now, what I want you to see here is simply this, is that in the rapture, it says we'll be caught up to meet him where? In the air. That means Jesus is not fully coming back to earth. He descended the earth, and he says, I'm going to return back to earth at around the same. You're going to see me coming back in the clouds. You'll see me coming back in the same area. I'll be right here. But when he comes back to rapture us, the Bible says we'll be caught up in the air to meet him. And so at the second coming, we're coming back to the earth. And at that point, he's going to be bringing a final end to the judgment of the earth for all who have rejected him. See, at the rapture, look at this. At the rapture, Jesus will bring deliverance for his saints. And at the second coming, he'll bring judgment to those who have rejected him. So the rapture is not a thing for us to fear as believers and followers. It's a gift of mercy that he brings to you and I. He is bringing us out. Now, some people today, they have a hard time with this. Some people today, they don't understand this completely. But let me try to break it down to you. Whether you believe that Christ is coming right before the tribulation, the Bible talks about in Revelation, there's a great tribulation, a seven-year period where God is going to judge the earth. Many people believe we'll be raptured away before it's called pre-trib. Some believe we'll be raptured away in the middle of the tribulation. It's called mid-trib. And some believe we'll be raptured away only at the second coming. And it can be a little confusing, but let me say this to you. First of all, if you want to stay here, that's fine. I don't want to be here. I can tell you that right now. And as I've studied all three, and there is valid points that you can make and arguments, but these are not arguments to have with new believers. These are arguments that you can have with seasoned, mature theologians who understand scripture, and you can have that debate all along. But let's make sure we don't confuse the young who are trying to understand and divert from the attention. Is you better be ready. You better be ready. Whenever the Lord comes back, you better be ready. And let me give you some scripture. I believe the most that we see in Scripture points that we'll be out of here before the tribulation. And let me tell you why I believe that and give you some simple scriptures. If you disagree with me, that's okay. I understand, and I'll give you room to do that. But I'm going to tell you why I believe this, and you feel free to believe how you want. But either way, you make sure you are ready to go. That's the most important thing. Let me tell you why I believe this. Number one, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. See, wrath was never to be for Christians, those who are Christ followers. He said, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The wrath was not intended for us. The wrath is intended for judgment on those who have rejected Christ. Romans 8, 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. Therefore, if I'm not condemned, I won't have to do the punishment. That's what I believe. Revelation 3, 10, look what it says also. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. And so we see scriptures that tell us this. We see scriptures about where he calls us his bride. Let me ask you this, ladies. If a man come to you and said, I want to marry you, but I'm going to leave you for 7 years and leave you with the worst husband in the world, Would that man love you? No. He's going to keep you to himself. He's going to protect you. See, we're called the bride of Christ, and I don't believe that Christ is going to leave us to suffer the tribulation. I do believe what we'll have is what we call pre-tribulation. We'll see things begin to happen. We'll see plagues. We'll see epidemics. We'll see earthquakes. We'll see famines. All those things are the signs of things to come and are gearing up for the tribulation, but they are nothing compared to what will happen when God opens up, because we are here. God is holding back his hand of judgment on the earth. There are still some judgment. We reap what we sow, but God is holding back his full judgment. At the time he takes his church away from the earth, then the earth is going to receive its full judgment. And I believe, according to scripture, we're going to be raptured with him. And at that time, it starts the clock of the tribulation time the Bible talks about. Listen, the rapture could occur at any moment. The second coming will occur 7 years later. It's a 7 year of tribulation, and that will start when the church is raptured out of here. And so what you got to understand is this, is that the rapture can happen at any moment. Very clearly, the rapture can happen today. Do you realize today is the end of the Feast of Trumpets in Israel? And if the trumpets sound, some believe that when the rapture takes place, it may actually happen during the Feast of Trumpets. Didn't say this year, maybe next year. Some believe that. I can't say it's not going to happen then, but the Bible says that no one knows exactly when it's going to happen. So you're not going to hear me predict what day it is, okay? I promise you'll never hear me say it's going to happen this year, it's going to happen this day. But what we can see is the Bible says when you begin to see the birthing of these pains, of these signs, know that the time is drawing near. Now, I can tell you, if you've ever had a wife and you've been in with her in labor, you know that when her birthing pains, the pains are getting quicker and quicker together and becoming less time apart, that the baby is getting close to coming, right? It's the same way as you see these things speeding up. Know that the coming of the Lord is also speeding up and getting close to coming. The rapture, according to scripture, will be an instantaneous. It'll be a hidden event. Nobody's going to know when it happens. Nobody's going to know when it happens. But the second coming, according to scripture, it'll be seen by everyone. Look what Revelation 1:7 says. Look, he is coming in the clouds. This is talking about the second coming. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the people on the earth will mourn because of him. It shall be a man. And so we see something happening here that is talking about the second coming. At the second coming, the whole earth is going to see him returning in the clouds. Even those who pierced him, they're going to rise up and they're going to see the second coming of the Lord. Even those who mocked and rejected him, they're going to look to the clouds and they're going to see Christ returning. The other day, I saw a video of a mainstream news station, and these two anchors, on the national news anchors, were making fun of Jesus. They were mocking Jesus. And my heart was sad. Not only was I angry because they were mocking our Lord, but I was thinking, man, what a day is going to be when they look up into the clouds and they see him returning home and realize they mocked the very one coming. And they had a chance. Listen to me. There's going to come a time. Why wouldn't God strike him dead now? Because right now, his mercy and grace, we're living under a season of mercy and grace. But he's only going to take so much, and he's going to call us home, and he's going to allow his judgment to come upon the earth. Listen, don't mistake his mercy and grace for a time to be complacent. It's a time to wake up and realize that the judgment of God will come to the earth. And the only way we can be protected is to be ready. Be ready. Look what Matthew 24, 36. This is what Jesus said about his return. He goes, but about that day, talking about the return of Christ, no one knows, okay? Nobody knows. And Jesus went on to say, even I don't know. This is the one thing that he didn't know. Everything else he says, I know from the Father. But he said, even at this time, the Father has not revealed to me when the return, the rapture, is going to take place. Now, some believe that once he got returned back to heaven, that the Father is probably obviously told him this timetable. But while he was here on earth, the scripture says that Jesus said, even I don't know the hour and the day of that return. He goes, nobody knows it. He goes, not even the angels in the heavens, nor the Son, which was him, but only the Father. And then he goes on to tell us, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be cooking together, and one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Now listen, what he was saying was this. He goes, so was it was in the days of Noah. And he even says it in other verses. He goes on and says, like the day of Lot as well. He says, when the day of Noah, people didn't believe Noah. Noah said, it's going to flood. It's going to flood. You better get on the ark. The ark will bring salvation. The ark will protect you from the flood. And people are like, whatever, dude. Flood, what are you talking about? This is not going to happen. And they mocked him. The Bible says they mocked him. They mocked his children. They mocked his family. What are you doing? You're building this ark about this water that's going to fall from the sky? It's never rained before. And they mocked him. And over the 75 to 100 years it took him to assemble and build the ark, people mocked him. And they pretty soon they go back, they walk by, and I can see, hey kids, look, it's that crazy guy building that big house. Oh, it's going to float because there's a flood coming. And pretty soon people mocked him, and people just begin to make fun of him and his family. But how many know when the doors shut on the ark and the rain began to come, people were no longer mocking. They were banging on the door, wanting to get back in. Please, let us in, let us in. After they had 100 years to get in, now they wanted to get in once the judgment came. And this is what God said, what Jesus said would happen on the end days, that people are going to not believe us. They're not going to believe you that he's coming back. They're not going to believe you when you say Christ is coming back. They're going to make fun of you. It's okay. You stand firm, because God will fulfill every word he has promised to his church. He has never told one lie. Everything he said would happen has happened or will happen. And so today you can stand firm. If the world mocks you, it's okay. I'd rather have the world mock me and for me and my family to be on the ark. I want to be there today. I want to be in heaven. I want my children to be in heaven. I want my family to be in heaven. I want you and your children to be in heaven. I want you and your family to be there with me. That's the most important thing else. I don't care how much they ridicule. I don't care how much they say you're wasting your time. As for me and my house, we're going to stand firm on the promises of the Lord, and we're going to be ready. I want to make sure my family is ready. You got to make sure your family is ready. Look what it says here in Luke 21. He says, watch out that you're not deceived. For many come in my name, claiming that I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. And then Jesus gives us some signs. This whole chapter is full of signs. Let me give you a few of them. He goes, when you hear of wars and uprisings, don't be frightened. These things must happen first before he comes back. But at the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation. Has that happened? Okay. Kingdom against kingdom. Has that happened? He goes, there will be earthquakes and famines, pestilence in different places. What he's saying was this, earthquakes are going to start happening in places that never happened before. How many know we're having earthquakes right here in our backyard all of a sudden in the last 2 years? Have you seen that? I mean, and it's destroying many places. Are having earthquakes happening right here. Even in the Florida State area, we're having earthquakes happening. It's never had earthquakes here before. Why? Because as we get closer to the end of time, earthquakes are going to happen places that never happened before. Famines are going to happen more frequently. And he says pestilence are going to happen in various places and fearful events and great signs from heaven. Do you know what the word pestilence means? Let's look what the definition says. Pestilence means a fatal epidemic disease. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. This is the Word of God. He says, as the end draws near, we're going to have fatal disease and epidemics happen. Pandemics are going to happen. We've had the Spanish flu in the 19th century. At the end of the 19th century, we had AIDS spreading everywhere. And now it's even getting worse. Those things happened. Now we're seeing COVID-19, where in a matter of just a few weeks, it was global, around the world. Shut the world down. I've had people say things, and I'll get to it in just a minute, but people say things like, is COVID-19 a part of the tribulation? And I will tell you, I don't believe COVID-19 is a part of the tribulation, but I believe it is a sign as we're getting close. And I believe that it shows you and I just how the tribulation will unfold. Because the Bible says that during the time of tribulation, it says that we will have a one world government. And so during COVID-19, all of a sudden, we're all affected by the same thing. And we're seeing where the governments are working together, trying to come up with solutions, trying to fight this thing together, come up with regulations. It says that in the end time of the tribulation, we'll be in a cashless society. Has anyone ever seen a sign that says that we're out of coins already? Are you seeing that already? I'm telling you, it's a prelude of things that are to come. We got to open our eyes. The Bible told us this. In the end, there will be a cashless society. It says that there'll be the rise of the Antichrist. There'll be a mark of the beast that'll be given. It'll be a mark, a chip that'll be given into your hand or to your forehead. We're like, 30 years ago, we're like, how's that going to happen? You know, they're going to tattoo it on you. What's going to happen? Now we see that they've already developed the technology. A little bitty microchips can go in our hands. They can go in our forehead. Why? Because when you walk in, we got to know what's your temperature. Have you been around anybody who's had this disease? Have you been around anybody in the last 24 hours that's had this? And all this technology is going to speak to itself. And when you come in, they're going to be able to track where you're at. They'll be able to track what you've been around. They'll be able to track, and you won't be able to buy to enter. You won't be able to buy or enter. You'll have a cashless society. Unless you have the mark. And the Bible says once you have the mark, it's too late. So if you are left behind, let me give you a little advice. Do not take the mark. I don't plan on being here, but in case you are like skeptic today and say, I'll just wait and see. And when it happens, you're going to be say, my God, I heard it. I was in the message. I was there, and I didn't believe it, but it happened. What do I do next? You're going to have to hold out. The Bible says that you cannot take the mark. And the Bible says if you do not take the mark, they will behead you. They will cut off your head. Well, that's extreme, Pastor. It's happening already. ISIS is already beheading people over in the Middle East. It's happened. People are losing their heads. And so I want you to know it's going to be a very tough choice as a parent if I didn't raise my kids to know the Lord, and then I've got to be there and tell them, don't take the mark. It's the only way we'll be saved. Oh, and by the way, I got to make a choice. Let you be beheaded or don't take the mark. I mean, what kind of choice is that for a parent? No, the choice is now. Let's serve God now. No, let's follow God now. No, let's quit putting other things before God. Let's make sure more than anything that my house is ready when the return of the Lord comes, that my children know that Jesus Christ is the most important thing they can ever do in their life. We must guard it above anything else. Luke 21:28 says, and when you hear all these things happening, all these signs, he goes, go and run with fear, right? No. He says, when you see these things happening, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption, your Redeemer, he is drawing near. See, I want you to understand this. Listen to me. Every junior high and high school student in here today, every college student, hear me today. You must give an account for your life. You must give an account for your life. And you can't say, I didn't know. My mom and dad went to church. Is it okay? No, you must decide for yourself. If you are at the age of accountability, of knowing right from wrong, you must give an account for yourself. The Bible says that at the rapture, one will be sleeping. They'll hear a noise and look over and no one's there. People will be... I want you to think about it. When the rapture of the church happens, think about what's going to happen to the world systems. Planes, trains, and automobiles all instantly have people who are departed out of them. Pilots leaving planes. Pilots leaving trains and drivers leaving automobiles. It's going to be mass chaos everywhere. Those who are traffic controllers, who are directing, all of a sudden they're going to say, give me direction, and no one's going to respond. Why isn't this train stopping? No one's going to respond. What's going on? No one's going to be driving. Why is this car coming at me? Why is this car in the ditch? What's going on? The rapture is going to happen, and instantaneously we're going to be gone. The world is going to suffer through the biggest shock in the history of mankind. When we are raptured out of here, everything they heard, their biggest fear now is going to come face to face. There's going to be a worldwide panic because the systems are all going to crash down. Then food is not going to be coming in and be brought in. So people are going to be ransacking. People are going to be looting. Everything will be looted in a matter of hours. Listen to me. In a matter of hours, everything will be looted out. And once the stores are cleared out, they'll be going house to house with rifles, stealing people's things. Not taking, who cares about you? Lawlessness will be gone because evil will be released on the earth, because God will be pulling his spirit off of the earth through the church, and we'll be out of here. And those that are left behind, it's going to be utter evil and chaos. The most despicable, the most evil things you can think of in your mind will be taking place. It's going to be mad chaos, and then eventually the Antichrist will rise up and try to bring order. And at first, they'll say, yes, this is a good thing. World order is coming back. And then as he rises up, the Word of God says he's going to turn all the people and get them ready for the battle of Armageddon at the second coming. And we're going to come riding back with them. Come on now, it's going to be an amazing thing. We're going to come back riding on white horses with the army of God. But except for we're not going to have to do battle. We're just going to walk, and with the spoken word of the one who is true and faithful, out of his mouth he's going to declare the judgment of the world. And the Antichrist, the beast, and Satan himself, the armies of the world who have mocked him, they will receive the wrath of God. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. I'm here to tell you, God will destroy the earth with plagues and with judgment, but he will restore the earth again to rule again with the saints who have gone with him. And we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. Let's be ready now. Let's make sure our kids are ready now. Let's make sure our family is ready now. Let's make sure our community is ready now. Everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus, everyone who calls upon our Lord will be saved. If you need to get right with God, today is your day. Do not wait. Today is your day. If you need to get right with God, today is your day. Listen, dads, I don't care how many players your kids can quote, every stat, sport book, they know every team. I don't care how much trivia they know. I don't care how many degrees they get. I don't care how many honor rolls they have. The most important thing is their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a 0.00003% chance your kid will make it to be a pro athlete. But there's a 100% chance they'll stand before God. Come on now, let's get our priorities straight, guys. Let's get our priorities straight. As for me and my house, we're going to be ready. I want you to be ready today. I want you to bow your heads. If you're here today, say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready. Today's my day. I'm ready to accept Jesus. I promise you, we won't embarrass you or single you out, but you need to make yourself right with God today. You see, I've been coming to church for a long time. Maybe this is your first time here. Doesn't make a difference. If you are not right with God, today is your day to get right with God. It's a beautiful time. His grace and love is so big. And today is your time to accept that right now. It says that if we call upon his name, we believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that he died for the sins of the world on the cross, that he resurrected on the third day. And man, if we believe that and we confess that and surrender our life to Jesus, that man, we will be saved. And so if you're here today, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus and you're ready to do that, raise it right now. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready. I want to be ready. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? You're ready. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Anybody else? That's me. I'm ready. Come on. Raise it high right now. Say, I'm ready. Come on now. I'm ready. I'm ready. Thank you. Thank you. I'm ready. Thank you. Yeah, today I'm ready. I want to make sure, Pastor. I don't want to go sleep tonight leaving things to chance. I'm ready today to make sure my life is right. I'm pleading with you. If you have not made that decision, today is your chance. Today is your day. If you haven't raised it and you want to raise it one more time. This is the last time I'm going to ask. Thank you. I see the hand. Thank you. We're going to say this prayer. If you raised your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. Repeat it after me. We'll help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only son. And from this day forward, I will live for you and I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you surrender your life to Jesus, we say welcome to the house of the Lord and to the body of Christ today. Come on now, put your hands together, stand on your feet this morning.